I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. This is episode 1,246 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And I know a lot of you guys have been here for a long time, and I just want to say thank you. Shout out to my man, Phil. He is the best celestial. We got Thomas going on. This is awesome. What I wanted to do today is kind of step back, reevaluate a couple different things. Obviously, you know, usually our Wednesday show is kind of a film-based approach where we kind of look across the lens at a lot of different things and say, all right, what's happening here that maybe we're not focusing on? What's happening there? All those different things. We got some roster moves, practice reports, updated clips from Shanahan's press conference, which I'm pretty excited about sharing with you guys, and some questions just from the audience, from, you know, email and all that kind of different stuff. What's up, Mike? How we doing? Hashtag CC and the Countdown Crew. So let's go through just the roster moves and all that kind of stuff and what's going on. First moves, Brandon Ayuk officially placed on IR. Obviously, that sucks. It's terrible. This season could not have gone worse for Ayuk. And the one thing I got to say is, like, I'm very happy he got paid. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. I love it when people get paid. Now, the way that all that went out, that's a whole nother story. But I'm glad that him and his family have financial security for the rest of their lives. That is important. I think that is something that should be celebrated, that grown men throwing a ball can change their family's livelihood. That's great. He's gone. Who's going to step up all those things? Well, that created a roster spot on the 53-man, and I have been screaming for weeks. You guys know. Evan Anderson. Mr. Anderson. Gets promoted finally, baby. Not elevated. He is signed to the 53-man roster. He no longer is on the practice squad. Nobody can take him from us. He is ours. And it could happen at the better time would have been earlier. We really could have used him last week. Man, real quick film nugget. Jordan Elliott absolutely destroyed the entire game. He was awful. Which I like Jordan Elliott. He's had some good games. But, man, that dude just got embarrassed. So, The promotion up to the 53-man roster of Evan Anderson just gives the 49ers another force. Jordan Elliott was getting pushed around 7-10 yards backwards, 7-10 yards down the line the wrong way. It was bad. It was really, really bad. So getting another force in there that doesn't get moved easily. Now, do I think that Evan Anderson should be starting or that he should be getting 30 snaps a game? That's not what I'm saying. He's not there yet. But there were two players that I've just been barking to get off the practice squad, to get onto the 53 and to play more. Sam O and Evan Anderson. Neither one of which are easily moved. They are stout. They are thick. They are wide. And they are forceful and violent. Sam O has exceeded all expectations of anything I thought he would be. Sam O is incredible. Can Evan Anderson do a likewise trajectory? Man, if they did, that would be huge. It really, really would. Because right now you've got kind of two good defensive tackles. Malik Collins continues to impress. Kevin Givens is kind of a coin flip. Jordan Elliott, we'll see. He's got to stay healthy and stack some good days. But now you're adding in Evan Anderson, and I think that's huge. You get your Ter Gross Matos back, hopefully in about 2 weeks after the bye. You know, he's a D-end, but he pass rushes from the inside consistently. So, you know, just tinkering, adding, I think that's important. Now, you also signed two new players, offensive lineman Dieter Iselin. There we go. I think I said it right. Iselin. Offensive lineman from Yale. Smart guy, right? And wide receiver Malik Turner, who is no stranger to the 49ers. On, off again, on, off again. You know what? I want to look up. I want to see this because I think Malik Turner, I think this is his fourth stint with the 49ers. He came out of Illinois. And, man, what year did he come out? He came out in 2018. Let me go to his transactions list, which there's 40 transactions. Okay, so let's go through this. We can do that. He's with Seattle forever. Then he signed with us in 2022, okay? He was with us for a long time. We released him. He left. He came back in July. July 25th, we signed him. Then we placed him on IR. That was August, so that was way before the 53-man, so it didn't ruin all that different stuff. And then we just brought him back again. So, yeah, this is the fourth stint that Malik Turner has had with us. He understands the outside wide receiver position that Ayuk, you know, played. So it just gives you depth. I doubt he's activated. You still have Tate Martin, which if I could activate a wide receiver, it'd be Tate Martin. You still got Trent Taylor. He's inside. And now you've got another outside. Tay Martin plays all three. But Tay Martin's really what makes him special is special teams. He's a great special teams player. We could really use that. Malik Turner, he would be the outside kind of edge guy. That's what that is. Yeah, right here, Skywalker. Evan Anderson to the active roster. It's funny. I was working on something else. Taxes, BS. But anyway, I was working on something else. And all of a sudden, I started getting dinged. And so I looked down. I was like, oh, what's going on? And then just like people are like, John Chapman. Like I kept getting tagged. And I was like, oh, yeah, something good, hopefully. And then I saw it was the Evan Anderson thing. And I was like, oh, that's what's up. You love to see that. You love to see that. So really, really excited about that. Look at Mike. He's talking trash. Some athletic excellence last night from Chapman. I'm going to. Adult softball, slow pitch softball league. We run ruled them yesterday, 17-1. That's right. We only made it through four innings. Arrgh, it was a good game. I didn't have any errors. That's always my number one goal. So I suck at softball. I've never played really, but I could bat. I got five RBIs. I'll take that. I had a good game. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the shout out. There is very few times in life that you can shout out John Chapman's athleticism. Last night was barely one of those, but I will take it. Yeah, Jim, finally for Evan Anderson. Like, I was so concerned somebody was going to take him from us, and now he's ours. Yeah, right here, Rook. Now I don't have to worry about the Seahawks trying to take away Evan Anderson. Whew. I like it. Leon Sandcastle. Vikings released Robert Tonyan. You think they might sign him to the practice squad? Man, we have too many tight ends. We have four tight ends on our active roster right now, as is. I wouldn't be opposed to signing Robert Tonyan, but, man, tight end, our tight end 2, 3, and 4 are not good. We have tight end 1. And probably, like, I might be in the minority on this, but if I could trade for any position right now, just based with the teams that are in sell mode and mixed with what is on their roster, I think tight end make the most sense to trade for. Eric Saubert's all right. Hasn't been good. But, man, if you could go get Hunter Henry or Austin Hooper, excuse me, that our team would be immediately better. Immediately better. So, not that I think tight end 2 is the biggest need of the team. I do not. But if I marry, okay, what does the 49ers need? what is a team that's willing to sell in the opposing conference with more than one player at that position that they could part with one of those, it'd be all right. That just makes too much sense to me. And I don't think it would be that costly. Like, you're talking like fifth, sixth round pick, I think. So, like, it's just like, oh, all right. Now we're talking, right? So there's just a lot of check marks there. Robert Tonyan doesn't move the needle for me. But on the practice squad, I get it. Take a shot. That's cool. I'm not too worried about that. Right here, was Terrace Marshall that bad? Don't know. Never got to see him practice. No, that's not true. I saw him practice a couple times. He was okay, but he's on another team now. He got signed to another team. He's gone. We released him long ago. We could have brought him back many a times. Did not. DeStoic, need that hat. Yeah, it's Cowboys. I got to get this out, man. This is my theinfiltratorshop.com if you want this hat. This is the catch hat. It's got the patch of the Dwight Clark making the catch over the Cowboys with the play drawn on there. If you're watching on YouTube, if not, just assume it's the coolest hat you have ever had. I'm only wearing this hat all week. All week. It's Cowboys week. This is the only hat I'm wearing. It to sleep. I wear it to shower. I'm wearing it all the time. Sonia. When Sonia agrees with me, I know I'm doing okay because she's smart. She gave me the heart on Hunter Henry. I like that. And right here, Kawa Chipto. I'm sure I said that wrong. Thank God Anderson is on the 53. Ugh, all the Matrix memes. Ugh, Mr. Anderson. Now, practice report, not good. No Juwan Jennings today at practice. No Deebo Samuel. No George Kittle today. I think that there is a legitimate opportunity for all three to be active. Definitely two. I think the most likely is Kittle. I think the second most likely is Jennings. And then third is Deebo. But Kyle Shanahan was asked about this today. What's up, Alvin? And he said there's a chance that Deebo plays this week. And again, it's funny because I think people that watched the post show, where I was very, very upset about so many different things, and we all were, the therapy, whatever, after we lost to the Chiefs, the emails that I got and the messages that reached out were almost all positive. Like, I agree with you. But some people tagged me on, you know, social media saying John Chapman said this, which is not what I said, but that's okay. I'm not going to dispute anything on social media. It's not a real place. But anyway, so a lot of people like that I could tell didn't listen to the show were like, see, don't you regret what you said now? And I was like, no. I literally said, if he's that sick, he needs to be in the hospital. That's what I said. Like, either you play or you're in the hospital. Don't stand on the sidelines. And he shouldn't have been on the sidelines. That was a huge miss. He was sick enough to have, you know, pneumonia, fluid in his lungs, all those things, went to the hospital. Should have been in the hospital the day before. He would have got better faster. So I fully stand by what I said. Was it insensitive to question some of those things? Not with the information that was given. I love Deebo Samuel. Like, people in today's age, nuance is like a lost art. It's lost. Context is a lost art. It's either hot or cold. It's yes or no. You hate them or you love them. I don't believe that way. And I don't operate that way. And thankfully, I don't. I mean, I have sponsors, but it's my own business. It's my own show. Built it, ground up, 1,200 episodes. Like, if you don't like the show, I don't want you to go elsewhere. That's not what I'm saying at all. Like, I love you guys, and I really do appreciate you're here. But sometimes I want to say things that you don't like. That's okay. I do things I don't like all the time. I disagree with myself, and I'll finish the show and be like, man, I really should have said it this way, presented it this way. That's okay. But, like, we don't have to be... We don't have to fall into the social media whatever all the time where it's you hate or you love. No. And like, and my wife and I, we talk about this all the time. Like, man, like one of my favorite like discussions is like good and bad people. Like, are there good and bad people, or are there just people that make good and bad decisions? You know, it's somewhere in between sometimes. Most times. I freaking love Deebo. Do I like everything that Deebo does? No, I do not. I love Brandon Ayuk. Has the relationship that does not really exist in real time. He doesn't know who I am. Did that take a lot of hits this offseason to this season? Yeah. Am I mad he's injured? Yes. I freaking love those guys. That doesn't mean I'm not going to criticize them, right? I love my wife. We get arguments all the time. She'll tell me all the things I've done wrong. She got them listed, baby. Post-it notes everywhere. Don't do this. Don't. No, she doesn't do that. But, like, that's okay. Like, that's a healthy relationship. I'm not going to sit here and say, this is awesome. This is awesome. It's not awesome. We're 3-4. We're in third place in the worst division in the NFL. It's not all okay. It's not all rosy cheeks, even though it is always rosy cheeks when you watch the show. That's okay. It's just what it is. So, was I too harsh on my criticism of Debo? Perhaps. But I went wrong. I said he should have been in the damn hospital. If he's as sick as everybody say it is, he should have been there and not on the sidelines. I stand by that. Is he tough as hell? Yeah. Yeah. And I hope he gets better. I think he can't play this week. I do. And I hope he does. We need him.
Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in over 30 states, including California, Florida, Georgia, and Texas? You sign up today and you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. All you do is pick two players, whether they're going to do more or less. It's easy. You think Justin Jefferson's going to get more than 83.5 yards this week? Let's say you just want to focus on 49ers. Brock Purdy, more or less 229.5 passing yards. Brandon Ayuk, he's struggled, 64.5 receiving yards. If you think they're going to hit that, you just pick two. If you're right, you get paid. That simple. And so whatever it is you want, download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's promo code 49ers. So go check out Prize Picks. Run your game. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this. I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work. You put it in. You pick your portfolio. It goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42-millimeter marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shade, what's up with Mason now? It's the shoulder issue. It's still the same issue, the AC joint. You're just lowering contact on that shoulder during the week so it can heal. They got nobody else. They got nobody else. So Jordan Mason or bust. And if Debo can't play, dear Lord, Isaac Garendo, Keyshawn Vaughn, and maybe Patrick Taylor Jr., not good. Not good. Not good. So, nah, Mason's playing. Yeah, obviously, you know, his shoulder, but it's the same thing that was. It's been injured. It's what it is. And so that's just something you got to do. Ben, appreciate that. Love the hat, man. Yes, it's my friend, dude. He made this company, the InfiltratorShop.com is what it is. B, what's up? Did you hear Evan Anderson's on the 5th-3? You know it. We led the show off with it. I ain't going to miss that. Sonia. I'm okay. We have good wide receivers in Cowing and Pearsall. We still have Kittle and a run game in Mason. Purdon needs to tighten up. We got this W versus the Cowboys. Yes, we do. I really, really do think so. I thought we had the Chiefs game, so take that for whatever you want. Right here, I want to see Tariq Owens elevated on the 53. Yeah, I forgot about him. He broke his wrist, was out. I was at that practice, and I saw him running. I was like, oh, something's wrong with Tariq. And then he was released the next day. Now he's back. Tariq Owens, fun player. Contested catches. Like, that's kind of his thing. Vertical contested catches. He doesn't get separation, but he makes a lot of contested catches. So, like, the antithesis of Ronnie Bell, maybe? I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be mad about that. Paul, John always holding black players to a higher standard. Wow, that's a new one, Paul. Appreciate you, man. That's the first person that's ever said that. I got called out the opposite earlier today for criticizing Nick Saracen. So if I'm upsetting both sides, then I guess that's good. Appreciate that, Paul. Keep coming back, buddy. Keep sharing. Tyler, any word when Feliciano will be back? Brindle's play and attitude is not it. I'm with you, Tyler, 100%. But here's the weird thing. Feliciano said he was ready over a week ago. Like, he went to social media, put that out. Again, one of those players I don't hold to the highest standard as I do black players is Jake Brindle, right? Right, Paul? might be his first time listening to the show. I don't know. But that's okay. Still what you hear, Paul. Still what you hear, buddy. I don't know what the answer is here. Obviously, I'm not a Jake Brindle guy. I will say this. Wasn't awful versus the Chiefs. Wasn't good. And in pressure situations and goal line situations, that's Brindle's time to make huge mistakes consistently. The film shows that. You can go watch it. We put every single play up, the 49ersrush.com. And our thing. And, you know, I've gotten people asking me to stop being so harsh on Jake Brindle. How far do I want to go into that rabbit hole? Not too far. But anyway, it's just, I don't know, man. It's pretty easy to tell. And here's back to the film. Offense, defense, kind of culture of the team. You have all-out effort, energy guys. All-out. That just, no matter what, they're going all-out all the time. Doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean they don't make mistakes. Doesn't mean they don't have missed assignments. That's all I'm saying at all. But you have guys like, George Kittle, Dominique Pooney, Kyle Juszczyk, Brock Purdy, I'm going to put into that category, right? You have these guys that just go all out all the time on offense. You have the same thing on defense. Fred Warner, Malik Collins. Malik Collins made a tackle on a pass play in the opposing flat, which was just incredible. I think it was the second quarter, just like unbelievable play for a defensive tackle to make. Sam Okwuonu going lights out. Malik Mustafa, D Winners, Renardo Green. Like, you have guys, Fred Warner, like a lot of guys that are just like laying every single thing that they have out there, every single play. And it's just like, man, that is awesome. But, and there's always a flip side. Back to nuanced takes. There's a handful of guys on this team that do not leave it all out there. Do not. Charvarius Ward does not. Coming off his best game. Awful versus the run game. Refuses. He at one play, he stuck his nose in the box and made a play. And I was like, oh, there's the seven I know and love. Jake Brendel, he will watch. All-time watcher. That's what he does. He turns around and watches on the goal line. He will watch his player get hit during the play consistently. And it's just like, why don't you go do something? If you want to watch, buy a ticket. Devondre Campbell, not a lot of effort, man. Not a lot of effort consistently. He's a, well, my responsibility is this, so I'm going to do my responsibility, but I'm not trying to make a play type of guy. That is problematic. You see team winners out there, exact opposite. What can I do to make a play? I'm leaving it all out there every single play. And so we have some guys that are making judgment calls. Now, back to Paul. That is a white player that I am criticizing about effort. And that is a black player that I am criticizing about effort. I do not hold them to a higher standard. I'm just telling you what the film shows consistently. Okay? That's a problem. That is a problem. Now, the 49ers culture is good. The 49ers captains and all these things are good. Now, here's a question that I got from Robbie J. Shout out to Robbie J. He says, where's the heart of the team at the moment? And then you put in a movie reference and a football reference. You've got me. Hook, line, and sinker. He says, I keep thinking of Gene Hackman in The Replacements. Great movie. When they are down at half and he's asked what the team needs to do to come back, he says, quote, heart. We need heart, end quote. And the question was, who do you honestly see standing up there and saying enough is enough? Shanahan was asked a similar question today, not really the same thing, but about captains and kind of what the vibe of the team is and what needs to change going forward. So let's listen to Kyle. Then I want to go through the captains.
We got great captains. We got a great team. I mean, there's not, you know, we've been in this situation before. We're not, everything's going perfect and you're a little backs against the wall. But our group, our culture, I mean, it's never really been an issue. I've never had to make a big deal about stuff. And anytime that there is, I'll call guys in and address it. But our team's got, we know each other pretty well. I think they know me pretty well. And we got a group, that bunch of good people that don't blame each other and know what you got to do after stuff like this. There's only one thing. You can sit and talk and evaluate all this stuff, or you can get to work and find a way to be better the next week.
I do think that the captains, and like the fact that the Niners have been here with this team, with this coaching staff for the most part, that's huge. Even Nick Sorensen, who's new, he was here, right? Back in 2022. What's his name was not our special teams coordinator, but whatever. Like, whatever. So, like, let's go through. And I don't think that it's really like, oh, we have to sit down and say these things. But let's just go through the captains, okay? In no particular order. And I hope I don't miss any. Trent Williams, captain of the captains. The holdout hurt the team considerably. That makes it harder. Has Trent Williams been awesome? Yes, he has been. Has he been as awesome as he was last year? No, he has not. Plus, he got kicked out of the game, which I actually think is a positive. You got to stand up for yourself, and you get punched in the back of the head. Like, I'm sorry. This is probably one that you could show me all kinds of data and sit me down with, you know, ethics professors and whatever else and explain to me why it's wrong. I'm sorry, I'm kind of stuck. Maybe this is my, like, get off my lawn type moment, but I don't care. It's football. Nobody punks me on my home field. That's another issue that I do have with Charvarius Ward. 3 weeks in a row, this dude's getting punked around the field by people knocking him on his rear end, throwing him into the sidelines multiple times each game. It's on tape. And each team, this is former's team he played against, and they were going after him, multiple players, tight ends, wide receivers, picking on number seven. And so whenever you put up soft tape, other teams see that, highlight that, and tell you, number seven, you can go after this dude. He ain't going to do nothing about it. And he didn't. He continued not to. But I love Trent. I think he's probably the best player we got out there. But it's kind of hard to get out there and say the things that you need to say with what's happened this year. with that's hard. The holdout, missing, you know, practices, missing tape, missing game tape, cramps, all that stuff. It matters. Kittle's been awesome. And I think he's probably been at the level that Kittle has been at. He's one of the few captains whose play has not gone down really at all. He's still answering all the calls. 5 touchdowns. Led the team in receiving. Like, he's doing all the Kittle things ever. But the problem is, with a personality like Kittle, he's always at level 9. He's always at, like, 9.5. So what can Kittle do? Go to 10? Like, is that going to move the needle? Kittle's always Kittle. And one of my favorite things is just, like, how often when Kittle says what we have to do, it's very, very simple, and I am 100% in this camp. What do you got to do to win games?
So, I mean, I think all we have to do is hold on to the football, run the ball really well, and we're going to be okay.
Hold the football, quit turning it over. We didn't do that. And run the ball well. We did run the ball well. We just didn't run it enough. So, like, what can Kittle do to bring I don't know. I mean, he's at 9.5. Can he go to 10? I don't know. I don't think it's on him. Brock needs to be the guy, but he's coming off his worst game of the year. Probably bottom 3 game of his career. That's hard. That's hard to do. How do you tell somebody, hey, guys, we got to pull it together. We got to protect the team. Well, you just threw 3 interceptions. Like, I'm just saying that's just kind of what it is. Like, who has ground to stand on to say, hey, get in shape or get out? Who has that? Kyle Juszczyk? All right. He's got a lot of respect. I'd prefer to be him. He's the guy that I would want. If I had to pick one captain to stand up there and say, hey, MFers, we ain't standing for this no more, I'd want it to be Kyle Juszczyk. That would be the guy I would pick. Fred Warner, he's usually the one. He's been playing through injuries. Everybody playing through injuries. Bosa, that's not who he is. You could go to the Bosa press conference after the game. I don't think, I didn't even cut those clips, because whatever they asked, he would say, like, not my job. No, that's not what we do. Like, that's just not who Bosa is. Bosa is a guy who he works with his D lineman. He ain't stepping out. Bosa is a soldier. And then this is a positive and a negative. Bosa's a chain of command. He ain't putting anything on social media ever. And, you know, I hated Bosa's holdout, but never created division or divisiveness between anybody. He just didn't say anything. He just did his own thing, chewed his dip, worked out at home, and then finally said, all right, let's do the deal. It was late, and that was a problem that affected us then. Bosa's playing awesome now. Bosa's playing awesome. Debo, no, he's sick. Whatever else is going on. And then CMC. Maybe the thing that we actually need from a captain is CMC to be here. That's what we need to do. Is we need his presence. Maybe his presence is enough to say, all right. They did not activate his 21-day practice window today. So it will not be this week. Probably going to be at the bye. God, I love CMC. So I love this team. I love the captains. I love the culture. But at the same time, something's got to change. Something's got to change. Run the ball better is the answer. And so we've got a lot of here's some comments, okay? Mike, he says, Lombardi posted PFF having Brindle over Banks for pass blocking. Does that seem right to you? Yes, it does. Brindle's benefit, or what he's kind of best at, is pass blocking. But here's the problem. And the rules that are given to slide pass protection falls on Jake Brindle. I don't think Jake Brindle makes a lot of bad calls, but he makes bad calls where he'll fan to the left, should have fanned to the right. Or a fan to the right, should have fanned to the left. Now, not all of those are bad calls, but we fan the wrong way a lot of times. Now, Spagnola and Flores learn what our rules are and manipulate those rules. So we slide protect to the wrong side, and then we drop, and then they blitz this way. And so every time we get manipulated into fanning our pass protection, sliding the offensive line to the incorrect side. Brendel blocks nobody. And then the opposing guard or tackle has to block two people. So PFF and O-line, rough. It's a rough. It's not very accurate all the time, but use it as a tool. That's fine. I don't have a problem with saying Brindle's pass blocked better than Banks. Banks has not been consistent. Banks is either good or terrible in every single drive. He'll have a good half, he'll have a good quarter, and then he'll be terrible. And it's just the consistency is not there. But I will say this. Brindle in the run blocking game, he always gets to his point. He just cannot sustain blocks. And you look at those third and two and fourth and one runs, and you'll see Brindle watching the ball carrier just get hit by his guy. He got to it. And so for the first half count, Jake Brindle is right where he's supposed to be. No functional strength at the play. It just gets tossed to the side, and then he'll just turn around and watch like we all do in the stands. Only difference is I bought my ticket. That's the difference. And I know I want to get more. Jake Brindle's not that bad, actually. And I know I'm going to get that. He's not that bad. He's not that good. I don't think anybody could say that. I don't think anybody could say that. Blood Moon, appreciate the super chat. Kittle is like the Joker, a Joker with opponents and all. But even the Joker got pissed, and I need Kittle to unleash the fury. Less talk, more action. Who's doing more than George Kittle? In the receiving game, in the blocking game, like I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's look this up. Let's see. Again, I don't think PFF is probably the best way to do this. But let's just look. Overall, offense, George Kittle's the second highest rated player on the year. In the pass game, George Kittle's the number one rated player on the year. Pass protection, George Kittle's the fifth player on the year. He's got 26 pass block snaps. Run block, George Kittle, oh, a little far down. He's ninth best. Some of these players haven't played too much, but that's kind of where he is. George Kittle's got one penalty. Now, if we look at stats, receptions, George Kittle leads the team in receptions. Even though Ayuk has more targets, he has more catches. That's crazy. He has 9 more catches on 5 fewer targets. He has the second most passing yards only to Juwan Jennings. I don't know. 5 touchdowns. I don't know, man. And like, Blood, man, I appreciate you. Kittle's freaking playing all pro level football. He leads all tight ends in the NFL in several categories. He's the number fantasy, whatever that implies. He's the number one tight end in fantasy. Like, I don't know. And maybe I'm wrong on that, and that's okay. Agree to disagree. And I want him to get mad and stuff, but like, Kittle's always that guy day in and day out. So, yeah, I don't know. I like this. The offense needs to revolve around Kittle. I'm with you 100%, Blood Moon. That dude needs way more, way more, way more, way more. Keep getting that dude the ball all the time. When you throw the ball to Kittle, good things happen. Period. Period. And also, good things happen when you bet with us over at MyBookie.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out. Trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Here we go. This makes more sense, and I apologize. Reading comprehension is not my strong suit. Thomas, he says, I think he's referring to the high George stuff and the camera and all that type of Joker. That makes sense, Blood Moon. It's just who, like, it's kind of like Jimmy G, and in a bad sense, right? Like Jimmy G would be getting blown out 30 plus points and smiling and laughing on the sideline. Like that's, some people are just going to be who they are. And I know we have, right, Wilkes, we got to get him down from the booth. That's the problem. He's got to be on the sideline. Yeah, how stupid do those looks now? We had a top three defense under Wilkes. Now we're fighting for a bottom 10 defense in the NFL. Gosh, I would trade a third-round pick if we could have Steve Wilkes on our sideline or in the booth right now. We probably would be 4-2. Probably be 4-2, a 4-2 team right now. Maybe 5-2 if we just had Wilkes calling plays. Like, just that. That's my own personal opinion. I'm going to get roasted for saying that. Steve Wilkes is 100 times better than Nick Sorensen at this point. Maybe Sorensen turns into an amazing coach. But, like, who players are is who they are. George ain't going to stop doing that. And again, he's the only player performing at an elite status. But hey, that's okay. I don't mind that. Big Tone, appreciate Super Chat. Let's not forget our only elite receiver is George. He's it. He's all we got. Man. Right here, Steve-O, can't bet. Yes, you can. In Nevada, you can. On MyBookie, you can bet. Go to MyBookie.ag. Trust me, you can bet there. I've been in Nevada, and I've used it several times. I go to Vegas too often. It's an issue. But yeah, go check it out. MyBookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers in Nevada. Trust me. Trust me. It works. It does. Lee Gallen. What's up, brother? Appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome. Now, thank you, Thomas. Wilkes is 1,000 times, but that's not even close. It's more than that. And like film-wise, man, the Chiefs game, there were so many positives defensively. The turnovers is huge. And, you know, real quick right here, David, what's Brandon Staley's job? Why is he helping the team out? Well, Brandon Staley, the only thing we know, his actual job is coaching turnovers. That's his only, like, in the job description of, you know, whatever. And guess what? That is the only defensive metric we are top five or even close to top five is turnovers. So I would argue Brandon Staley's doing his job, which is turnovers. He does the turnover circuit and comes up with tape, teaching, and runs that and all that stuff for all positions. So I would say he's doing better than almost anybody else defensively. Now, what is his job outside of that? Nobody knows. Kyle's never really answered. Brandon Staley's never really answered. Nick Sorensen can't really answer anything. Brandon Staley, so I don't know the answer to that. But the one thing that I can say is, shoot, the only person doing that is the only top five metric. In fact, we don't, we do have a top 10. The only, no, we don't. We have one top 10 metric not related to turnovers, and that's touchdown passes allowed. We are eighth. Everything else, we're average or below average. Our defense sucks. And it's not the defense's fault. It's every third down, we go man coverage. Man, you watch that tape. And again, I just loaded it over on the 40irishrush.com. Go watch the defensive tape. And you're just like, zone coverage, awesome. Zone coverage, awesome. Third down, man coverage, huge play. Zone coverage, awesome. Zone coverage, awesome. Man coverage, third down, huge play. And it's just like, every single time we checked a man, the Chiefs and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes were just waiting. They were just waiting. They're in man now. And they had a whole set of man beaters, and they just took Sorensen to the woodshed time after time after time again. Then we get to the late second quarter. We stop running man, and it starts working. It starts working. They're getting frustrated. You can see the players upset. Second half, right back to man coverage. Like, I just don't get it. Cover one. Where'd that come from? We're doing it 20, a quarter percent of the time. 25% of our defensive snaps, we're at like 23, but a quarter is 25, right? We're in cover one man. We're not a cover one team. And it's not like we're blitzing. Yeah, we blitz sometimes. But like, how many times did we blitz Mahomes? Here we go. Let's look at this. Five times. So we're running cover one and we're putting our guys in man coverage and we're not even blitzing. We're dropping Sam O in defense. And the freaking hook to curl, which he made a play, which was cool. So I don't know what his job is. I feel like the Bob's on Office Space. What would you say you do here? He does turnovers, and that's the only thing we're successful at defensively. That's it. That's it. Oh, Steve-O. Best of luck to you, man. Don't worry about it. But if you want to, you can. Go to the website. It works. Trust me. Trust me, trust me. Just go to the website. Check it out. If not, no worries, man. You're good, Steve-O. Ed, John, do you think Jed York will step in soon over Sorensen's average defensive play? So far, your thoughts? Man, so, okay. Here's the pecking order. And the most common thing that happens after any single 49ers loss ever is I have the same 3 to 4 people email me or DM me. Is it time to fire Shanahan? Like, literally every single time. And it's usually, like, in the second quarter. Every time I'm like, no. Do I think that Nick Sorensen should be fired? I don't think that he should be fired. I think, kind of like what you did to Steve Wilks last year, I think that needs to happen in the press. And I think that needs to happen where Kyle Shanahan says, yeah, there's major issues here. And we're going to force him to come down from the booth. We're going to make him stop playing so much damn man coverage and telegraphing man coverage when we're running man coverage. It's pretty simple. That's what I would do. But the reason why I don't think anything is going to happen to Sorensen is because nothing has happened to Brian Schneider. We are the worst of the worst of the worst in all things special teams. And it is only getting worse. Shoot, David Lombardi. I love Lombardi. But he is a pro 49er spin at all times guy. That's just kind of his thing, and he shouldn't change that. That's who he is. I've met him. He's the most positive dude ever. That's what he is. So, whatever. Like, whenever you have David Lombardi putting stuff like this out, here's what he put. DVOA ranks of 49ers special teams. Field goals 10. And we've got our third kicker. Now, we are very close to getting a kick blocked. We almost had 4 kicks blocked. Extra points and field goals 2 weeks ago, like against the Seahawks. More kicks will be blocked. I don't care who's back there kicking. We are frontline protection is not coached well. We're not coached well. It's really, really bad. Kickoffs, 31st out of 32. Kick returns, 30 out of 32. Punts, 30 out of 32. Punt returns, 26 out of 32. Overall, 31st out of 32. Only the Tennessee Titans are worse than us. Now you go to the Cowboys. This is the one area that they have a huge advantage in because they have one of the highest paid special teams coaches. I would do so much for Fossil. Field goals, 1. Kickoffs, 3. Kick returns, 1. Punts, 25. Punt returns, 3. Overall, number 1. You literally have the best versus the worst. Now, Shanahan was asked. Dude, he got asked twice. On what the hell's going on with special teams? Because this sucks. I've been telling you for 2 years it sucks. But at least we had a good punt team. Now, our punt team went from top 5 to bottom 2. Real fast. Here's what Shanahan has to say.
It's similar to what everyone's been saying. Similar to the numbers. We've been struggling with it. We got to, especially in the punt return and, in the punt and the kickoff, you know, guys have gotten too big of returns on us. I know we gave up some blocks early in the year, which, you got to get that corrected with certain techniques and everything, but, we got to get a lot better at it. I mean, it's pretty obvious to everybody. It's obvious to us. It's been that way for a few weeks and I can't give you guys one narrative on it because there's not one narrative. It's about working with everyone, holding people accountable and, coaching them up the best we can to get them better.
So, I don't know, man. And it's funny because he even goes on and he talks about, like, well, you know, we're replacing a lot of guys all over the punt team. So, this is just specifically about the punt team.
Continuing to work with all these guys. You know, we've had to move a lot of guys around from our starting gunners at the beginning of the year and now starting on defense. You know, we've had to change our PP, our wings, you know, I think our right guard, I think we've changed about 4 times. So there's a bunch of movement on those guys. So you just keep developing them. You keep working with the individual drills. You can't do all stuff full speed, especially tackling and things like that. But, I mean, we're emphasizing everything and trying to get our group better.
It's so, like, that's cool. You want to say all that, whatever. But then you look at just, like, who do you have out there and how are they doing? It's the same guys that are doing poorly. Ronnie Bell is the worst special teams player we have this week. He graded out at 38. He had 34 players on special teams. Ronnie Bell's dead worst. Like, what is it about Ronnie Bell that makes him so intrinsically valuable? I have no freaking idea. Tabor Pepper has not been good all year. I'm just going to be honest. I like Tabor. He doesn't like me. He blocked me a long time ago. Salute. I respect that. Tatum Bethune, god-awful in special teams. He's on every special teams unit we have. He has been awful. He's been awful on kickoff. He's been awful on punt. He's been awful on kickoff return. Tatum Bethune can just play the run. That's his only job. Why are you putting him out in space repeatedly? That's coaching. You know that's not his strong suit. He's shown you all year that is not his strong suit. But you keep putting him out there everywhere. Why? Why would you do that? It's stupid. It is stupid. Anyway. It's just frustrating. You're coaching it or you're letting it happen. And it continues to be a major issue. Now, before I get upset any further, let's talk about something positive. Huge positive. We get to hang out with the legend in just 3 weeks. Frank Gore, baby. I'm so excited. Saturday, November 9th from 2 to 8 p.m. at the Brick House Tavern. If you're going out to the Tampa Bay game, come hang out with us. Oh, and a Hall of Famer. Meet and greet. Frank's going to be there. Dude signs everything. So if you have to pay for your entry to get in, we had to rent out the venue. Definitely not cheap. And then what happens is you can pay for a meet and greet. You get a picture with Frank Gore and he gives you an autograph. It's absolutely incredible. Plus, we're going to be giving away all kinds of stuff, trivia, whatever else. Kids get it free for all of our events. That's what it is. And then we'll be tailgating. Gosh, I can't wait. This is going to be a big game. 49ers versus the Bucks coming off a bye. It's going to be huge. We're one block east of the stadium. We rented out the entire lot. Probably going to be our biggest tailgate we've ever had. And we are overstaffing on this bad boy, which I'm excited about. Make sure everybody's taken care of. It's going to be an absolute blast. This is funny. Jim Everett the Great. 49ers are doomed. The one team that can't really talk about us because you're below us in the rankings, and we are not good so far. But that's okay. We're not selling off assets, Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, all that stuff. That's you guys. Look at Lee. He says, I hope Frank brings his 49ers faithful UK flag with. Lee, I had two more of those flags. People keep taking them. They literally pull them off the walls. They're you made them too cool, Lee. The 49ers UK flag, which I love, it's too cool. And people keep taking mine, and I'm... It bothers me because when we first get to a venue, what we do is we put our flags up everywhere and they like those too much. It's what it is. That's okay. That's okay. I love you, brother. I feel bad. Blood Moon, appreciate you. He says, thoughts on Saleh being seen at the Packers facility. Robert Saleh. Now, immediately I said, I don't think Robert Saleh is coming here at all under any circumstance. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Being part of the coaching world for a long time, and like, it's a backwards move going back to the place that you left. Now, being a DC elsewhere, that's a different thing. And you look at the Packers, that's his best friend. They were in each other's wedding. Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh have been coached. They started coaching together in 2004 at Central Michigan. Like, they rose up together. They're best friends. Robert Saleh likes Kyle. Kyle didn't really have best friends. Kyle's, I know coaches like Kyle. Coaching's all that matters. Everything else is just details. Yeah, he's got friends and he'll go to Cabo and whatever. He grows a mullet. I get it. But he's different. Matt LaFleur is different. Robert Saleh is different. I know those coaches. I'm those coaches. I'm closer to Saleh and LaFleur than I am to Shanahan. But I know Shanahan's. Now, back to Robert Saleh. Leaving a job and going back to the same place, that's different. I'm not saying he wouldn't. I'm saying I don't know coaches who would. Going to the Packers, that's different. Yeah, it's still a step back to a DC job, but it's a new environment. You're not moving into your old office. You're not doing it. Like, it's just different. It's a different feel. Now, do I think that this means the Packers are hiring them? I do not. And I still will say Man, if I was Robert Saleh's agent or friend, I'd tell him, go be a head coach at the college level. You need to be in charge, and you would have such a positive impact on all these young men's lives. And I think there's very rare that you can get people to do that. I mean, you got guys like Brian Kelly who just, would you want Brian Kelly around any person in their 20s? No. Back to the thing of, are there terrible people? I don't know, but if there are, Brian Kelly's one of them. But anyway, that's a person I would want my kid to go play for, right? I would want my son to go be molded by that person. Robert Saleh is one of those. So I feel like for him, the best fit is college personally, but he ain't coming back to the 49ers. Now, that's just what I think. Yeah, right here. Fangio was hanging with us. Didn't sign here. Yeah, it's his best friend. Like, literally his best friend is the head coach of that team. So go check it out. Dave, Kyle's best friend is playbook. It sure is. His best friend might be his dad. That's not a bad thing. It's not an insult. But, like, Mike McDaniel, who worked alongside Kyle Shanahan the most of anybody, like, I don't know if they're friends. You listen to that play caller series, it sure as hell didn't think like it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Right here, Bozzy Bid. Saleh is no longer a single man, but a family man. He's going to just kick it with his buds all day. I don't see why he'd go to Green Bay, all things being equal. Niners' job and location is better. He's from up there. He coached up there forever. He went to Michigan State. He coached at Central Michigan. Like, he's used to that up there. And again, that's just my opinion. I could be way wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. I would love to get Robert Saleh. You know who I want, though? I'm going to keep saying this. I want Jeff Ulbrich. I don't think the 49ers are going to fire Sorensen this year, no matter how bad it gets. It can't get much worse. Can't get much worse. It's so bad right now. It cannot get worse. But if you did move on after the year, Jeff Ulbrich, I would, oh, that's who I want. That is, oh. All right here, ESPN says that he did join, even though the role is not defined, says fluid role, maybe like a consultant or just kind of extra eyes. That's cool. I'm happy for him. Get him around. You know, he said he was going to take time off, whatever, but dude, work with your best friend. That's the dream. That's the dream. That's the dream. Get back with all your buddies and people around you. It's nepotism. Hired your buddies. That's what Shanahan does. But LaFleur, it makes sense. It makes sense, and I'm happy for him. I really, really am. One more question. I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about this one, but I want to talk about it. Shout out to Dexter C. He says, John, does this season give you eerie vibes about the last time we lost the Super Bowl, lost in 2019, and then we had 2020? Oh, I'll say this. We were thinking like, okay, we're going to become the dynasty and all that stuff. And we lost that game, but we were ahead in the game, whatever else, in 2019. 2020 happens. You trade Buckner, didn't work out. Got Kinlaw, got Ayuk. You know, some positives for sure. But then week two happened against the Jets at MetLife Stadium, stupid MetLife. And you lost Bosa. You lost, I think it was Solomon Thomas. And then, you know, just injuries started happening just like crazy. Mostert, then Jimmy G, and just it was just like bang, 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 bang. We knew that the season was over way before where we are now. We're in week eight. And so 2020 felt like just an immediate old yeller out in the back woodshed moment. Whereas this is like, oh, we got a little bit of hope. Maybe not. Okay, a little bit. Maybe not. Well, if this, and this. Dang it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's teasing us. Now, the 49ers have been here before. And do I think the 49ers make the playoffs? I do. I really do. The 49ers are still favorites to win the conference on mybookie.ag, which does work in Nevada. I should have said that. But it does. Use promo code 49ers. But, like, we're still favored to win the division. Now, that might be the best way to get back into playoffs. Like, we think because we're so far down, wild card. No. The NFC is pretty stacked right now. Like, the last wild card spot is the Bears, which is 4-2. Like, the Philadelphia Eagles are 4-2 and not even in the playoffs. But we have a weak division. The Seattle Seahawks are 4-3. We're one game back, and we've already beaten them once. We beat them again. We have a tie record. We own the tiebreaker head-to-head. We're in. That simple. That simple. So the pathway to the playoffs is through the division, and then you host a playoff game. That's huge. Now, divisional round and NFC, whatever. You deal with that when you get there. So, again, I'm going to keep – you get in the dance, anything can happen. You get in. You just got to get in. What's the easiest path to get in? The NFC West. Well, the good news is you still play the Rams again. You still play the Cardinals again. You still play the Seahawks again. You got to do better than you did the first round. You're 1-2 in the division. Not good, but you won the most important game. You clean out this division. You win all three of those games. I'm telling you right now, the 49ers are going to the playoffs. You win all three divisional games and finish 4-2 in the division. You're going to the playoffs, period. That's 7 wins. All you got to do is get basically 2 more. 9-8, if you sweep the division, will probably get you in the playoffs. 10-7 will get you in the playoffs if you sweep the division, 100% guaranteed. But you got to sweep the division. You got to sweep the division. You lose another one to the Rams or another one to the Cardinals or you lose to the Seahawks. Now, man, you've got to have that run. You've got to have that run. Bozzy Mayan, he says, dream DC hire would be Belichick, which they tried. They reached out to him. They reached out to the Chiefs for Spagnuolo. It's never going to happen. Yeah, it's Bill Belichick is a control freak. Control freak. There's no way he would ever answer to anybody. Not happening. Not happening. And I don't even think he'd let a GM be on the team. Like he's got to control everything. Maybe he changes some of that, but they tried to get him. That would have been awesome. Ed says, man, let the rookies cook. I believe they can. I can too. Trust them. Trust them. So anyway, this has been a fun show. Hopefully I didn't upset too many people. And if I did, I love you. That's okay. We will work through this relationship together. y'all are awesome. The 49ers are awesome. And has the season gone the way that we wanted it to go? It has not. But are there things that we can't achieve or the team can't achieve because of what's happened? No. You're one game out of first place. Are you one game out of the number one seed? No. Will you have to travel some in the playoffs? Probably. Traveled before in the past. And shoot, man. You kind of look at what the 49ers, you know, schedule is. Oop, I clicked on the wrong button. Way to go, smarts. Let's go back to it. Like, what's our home and our away? Yeah, we're 2-2 at home, and we're 1-2 away. How much home advantage are we actually getting? Yeah, our fans are loud, and I love our fans, but our fans are loud on the road. I go to all the road games, most of them. We're loud on the road all the time. So, and I know we'll show up anytime there's a freaking playoff game. We will freaking show up, period. Period. So that's what we do. We're the faithful. And dude, travel to Dallas. Dallas ain't hosting no playoff games. Man, you could end Dallas's year this week. End it this week. Bury those bums, man. Oh, you are the best. Faithful's the best, and we're going to stay that way. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.